Wait, you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I've knocked that Adolf Hitler over 200 times.
My spider senses are starting to tingle.
Just hang on to your lariat.
Wonder what kind of a scene I'm getting into.
And welcome to issue 95 of Behind the Panels, the comic book show that tried to recreate the Super Soldier Serum but ran out of ice cream. I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
Dave Longo.
Woohoo, he's back! In this issue, it's all about the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Kevin Feige makes plans until 2028. Look forward to Avengers Assemble. Ow, there goes my hip again. Then Fantastic Four gets its Doctor Doom, its Inhumans, Guardians, Dead Letter, and Poe in what we've been reading. Plus, we go to the movies for our incredibly kick-ass pick of the week, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. This is Behind the Panels.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Yeah.
I feel vaguely ripped off because I've got that on my soundboard.
I'm in control now.
I know.
Looks like I'm giving the orders now, David.
Damn right.
On your left.
On your left.
We will be talking about this movie we've all seen multiple times in just a few moments. But, boys, it's great to be back in the same room with you all.
Yay. Yes, especially Mr. Longo, who was noticeably absent last week.
I only came back because it was Captain America. Otherwise, yeah, next week we're not here. So
My understanding is you got your hand stuck in a Pringles packet.
All I did was just watch Captain America over and over again.
That's it.
He could not leave the cinema.
Yeah. They wouldn't let him leave, is my understanding.
I wish I could. Let's just leave it at that. If only I could have left my house, I would have been happy.
We did see a recent Captain America film this week. And if you were going to the cinema in the 1940s, you also would have seen some Captain America films. And let's hit up the Wayback Machine, which sounds suspiciously like the TARDIS, and go back to the Second World War.
Cool.
Well, Mr. Mayor. And how are you, Commissioner?
Hello, Grant.
The Commissioner's been alibiing his failure to turn up anything in these Purple Death murders. What are your excuses, Mr. Gardner?
I don't make excuses, but I do have a definite plan.
And that is?
I'd rather not discuss it now. You'll have to be patient. You remember the Commissioner and I have cleaned up crime waves in this town before.
Yes, but that mysterious Captain America did most of your work for you. If we could only contact him now.
I feel certain that this new crime wave will bring him out of hiding to help us.
And I hope so. We're up against a new type of scientific criminal. One that we'll never find in the usual haunts of crime.
So you'll remember when Captain America was the district attorney and Captain America was also mysterious vigilante that turned up when he was needed.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That was the origin story I remember. That's pretty much the first Cap film.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That was, of course, from the 1944 Captain America serials, which was the first time that Captain America was put forward into live action.
You mean Reb Brown wasn't first?
No, apparently not. I went through a couple of different stores here in Sydney today actually looking for Captain
Apparently, according to the JB Hi-Fi website, you actually have to order it.
Oh, you have to order it? Because I went to the shops. I want to get a copy of Captain America 2, Death Too Soon, from 1979, I believe it was.
They're both on 79.
Both 79. Two direct-to-TV films. In 79. Shock released them a few years back in the US and they've just been released here in Australia recently. But that was the 1944 serial. So like the around the same time the Batman serials were popular at the cinema, and they've made this very much like a Batman-esque serial, and he sort of turns up with his gun and he's basically it's the Captain America uniform he was wearing like when he was doing the showgirl routine in the first
right.
Yeah. Basically it's a little tighter than that. So it's a very, very... all online, if you want to check them out.
I'm definitely going to check
I think
check that
most
Sounds
of them
like
are
fun.
Out of copyright, so go and check it out. But, boys, we've been... I don't know if we've all had a chance to read a lot this week, but I'm going to hit up...
Are you looking at me, Richard?
Well, I'm mostly looking at you because you said to me before the show, I didn't get a chance to read a lot this week.
I've been busy this week.
As have we all, David, but I've been busy reading So I'm going to hit up a button. Actually, I did most of it this morning.
Actually, I did read something, but we'll come back to that.
Actually, there's another thing that didn't come out this week that I want to talk about. But before I do that, I'm not allowed to do it unless
I've
hit.
Can I just say quickly, I read about 134 books this week.
But that's because you were on a secluded island.
Sick, yeah.
But we're not allowed to talk about them.
No.
Unless I press this button.
Where? Looks like we got ourselves a reader. Read between the lines, bitch.
That reader we got is Dave Longo, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to quickly run through the new stuff that came out this week. Some of the stuff we might have both read before we go on and talk about these other massive runs we've both read separately. Inhuman number one came out this week. Mm-hmm. This was originally meant to be written by Matt Fraction, but he dropped it because he had too much on. Mm.
I'm glad he did.
Yeah, I'm glad he did too, because it's actually a good book. Charles Soule wrote it. Not like he hasn't got enough going on. He's writing like She-Hulk and a bunch of others at the moment. He's writing stuff at DC and Marvel and his own stuff as well. So, and he just started doing Inhuman. That came out. Really good book. It's basically, though, there's a little bit of an element of the uncanny X-Men to it, in the sense that, you know, there's Medusa and this other guy are both wanting to try and get to the recently reactivated Inhumans before, you know, first. And so it's kind of like the start of Uncanny X-Men, where there's both, you know, Cyclops and Magneto and the other X-Men were both trying to get to the new mutants before they were, you know, snafu'd up by the other group. So it's a little bit of a common thread there, but the art by Joe Madureira is beautiful.
Could you say that they're trying to write it to capitalize heavily on the Inhumans so they can use that in their cinematic world as
well?
I
reckon they are. I think a lot of their stuff is very strategic about the cinematic world at the moment. Including the other book, that number one that came out this week from Marvel, which is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude, number one. So this is the first glimpse we've had, apart from the trailer, into that world. It's quite good. It's basically a Nebula Gamora backstory. It's written by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning.
Who we thought weren't writing together. Well,
I reckon they probably wrote this ages
ago. Yeah, maybe they did actually write it 10 years ago.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I don't think they're writing any new stuff together. And the next thing that comes out, apparently they wrote their story separately or something. I'm not quite sure how that works. But it's a good little read. It's a lot of fun. I don't think by itself it would convince me to go and see the movie if I wasn't a comic book reader or if I wasn't already sold on the concept already. Part two is meant to be Rocket and Groot, though. So that might come. I think it's just been released too early.
I was about to say, I think that the point you made in the car on the way over here is that it's just too early. This should be coming out in June, July.
Yeah, leading right into the August release.
The last issue should be the week that the film comes out.
Mm.
So you just roll straight
in. Hell, it maybe comes out after the film when people have gone and seen the film, they love the film, and where do I start reading more about these characters?
That's another option, yeah.
You know, that's what you want to do. They'll probably repackage them.
Will part two come out next month? Or?
I think so, yeah. Part two is due out next month.
Still too early.
I'll whip through a couple of these other indies that came out. The Field number one came out this week. This is an odd one. It's about a guy that he's naked in a field and he finds his mobile phone giving him instructions, and he follows it and gets off on all sorts of adventures there, and he has no memory of who he is.
Who published this?
This one came out through, and forgive me, because I read a few indies this week, and some of them came out through.
Forgive me, but it sounds like an Image book. It really does.
It's either an Image or a Boom or an IDW. I know that's a wide net that I've
just
cast.
So it could be any of the indies.
It's one of the publishers that came out this week with, what have I done with it? I've got it here somewhere. Which one was that? That was The Field. Here it is. That one came out through. That one looks like it is Image.
Right.
That one's actually illustrated by Simon Roy and written and lettered by Ed Brisson, who's writing one of the other big ones. Sheltered was his other big Image title.
Oh, okay.
That he wrote. And so that's interesting. But also in the memory loss stakes that came out this week, it was actually a couple. Vale number two came out, which is really good. I spoke about Vale a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Just as good. Art is just as strong on that one. The other one was Dead Letters, which is another one out through, now I think this one's from a different publisher. This one comes out through Boom. This is the one I was thinking of. And the reason I got these two mixed up, because this also starts with a guy who wakes up in a seedy hotel room having completely forgotten everything about himself, except for the fact that he seems to be a sort of a kick-ass spy kind of guy.
I'm detecting a theme.
Yeah, that seems to have happened a bit this week. Again, get that one for the art. The story is intriguing. if you're going to buy something just for the art this week, go and check out Edgar Allan Poe's The Premature Burial. There's actually two stories in there. This is another Richard Corbin one. Richard Corbin's been doing stuff for ages. He does stuff. He did stuff for Hellboy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been doing Edgar Allan Poe stuff for decades, and he just seems to have had a new burst of enthusiasm on Edgar Allan Poe. Well, Dark Horse have just decided, let's get some more Edgar Allan Poe stuff out there. Just as good as his other stuff. What he tends to do is he sort of reinterprets the stories just a little bit.
Right.
Puts his own kind of narrator character
which
in there.
Which is the best thing to do as a writer. Yeah,
yeah, and it's actually a wonderful adaptation that he did. He's done a few recently, including some classics like Mask of the Red Death and The Raven and so forth. This one's The Premature Burial, which isn't as famous a Poe story. But look, I devoured Poe when I was a kid, so I love all of these. Rule of 68, Rule of War number one. Now, this is an interesting book. This one came out through, I think this one came out through Image as well. I'll just double check that before I commit to saying anything more about that one. That one came out through Image. Now, this is a really interesting book. This is a zombie book by Mark Kidwell with art by Jeff Zorno. But it's set during the Vietnam War in the late 60s. And there are, in addition to the Viet Cong and the U.S. Army, there are zombies. And one of the lieutenants has been experimented on. He seems to be half zombie, half super soldier. This is the setup for the book.
Right.
So, color me intrigued. I'll stick around for this. getting into stuff that we've already spoken about before. She-Hulk number 3. Just as good. This has got a really intriguing storyline. Now, did you read this one yet?
I've read the first two.
I've got the third one sitting on my iPad. There's my mantra.
There's your mantra. It's a drinking game. If you want to play along at home, She-Hulk number 3. This is basically the son of Dr. Doom wants asylum in the US.
Oh, that's how number 2 ended.
This whole issue is him petitioning to get that asylum, and she takes on the case. And, you know, the court allows it because they said, well, he had to fight through hundreds of Doombots just to get into the court. I'd say he's under threat. He's met that criteria. And then, you know, so it's kind of, it's really got that same sense of humor that's sort of pervading the other ones. I love this book. This is one of my new favorite books. But then again, Magneto and Moon Knight number 2 both came out this week. Both as strong as the promise of the first issue led us to believe. Love them both so much. I Moon Knight was so brilliant this week. Did you read Moon Knight?
I didn't read Moon Knight, but I read Magneto.
Magneto was brilliant. Okay, we'll talk about Magneto first then. What did you think of Magneto?
I thought they nailed it.
Yeah.
Get what I did there? Yeah.
If you read the issue, nailed it is a very
funny
comment.
No, he's actually surprisingly a badass.
He's a major. Well, he's Magneto, man.
Yeah, but Magneto's normally a badass, but this time around, he's tenfold.
Old school badass. And he has all these great flashbacks to the Second World War and how, you know, and you really get glimpses and insights into different aspects than what we normally see. That same kind of, you know, thing that, you know, that scene that Bryan Singer
so
shot
much.
14
it's
times.
It's more of the same, I think. It's like that quiet, Wild West kind of European flavor.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Know? It's like the man just with no name walking through different locales.
The character was very reminiscent of in the first book? It was very reminiscent. I got flashbacks of the original Red when it came out.
When he was just by himself.
Just him by himself. And I was
it's Warren Ellis, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Warren Ellis. And I got this real kind of flashback vibe of that type of character, that older character.
Oh, no, hang on. So I'm getting conflated because I'm about to talk about Moon Knight.
I'm talking about Magneto. No, Magneto has got that old man against the world kind of vibe to it.
It's Cullen Bunn that writes Magneto. Yeah. But speaking of Ellis, Moon Knight number 2, the layout on this thing is magnificent. It follows like half a dozen people getting assassinated by a sniper. And you see the six panels and on every page, each of their stories is being followed, and as each one gets taken out, that panel turns white. So there's one less panel per page.
Oh, really?
And so that's brilliant.
And it's just an amazing, amazing layout as the way it goes through, and then it builds up to then introducing Moon Knight, and you get the Moon Knight story. I you know, we raved about this book last month when it came out, the first one, and said it suddenly made us feel as though Moon Knight was a character worth following. Yeah. This is, keep going. I think it's going to be more innovative each week. There's another one, a couple of other ones that came out this week. I haven't read. Dave's just showing me Caliban. I haven't checked.
No, I just
that
read this before I came in here today. Yeah. Caliban. It's Garth Ennis, and I'm a massive fan of Garth Ennis, so I'm going to pick up anything he's written. But this is a really, really cool book.
Yeah.
It's like it's got shades of Alien into it, but basically it's a ship in warp speed that collides with an alien ship that's also in warp speed. So the two ships become melded together.
Oh, interesting concept. Yeah.
It's a really interesting concept. Very hard. It's published by Avatar Press. So like they do sort of that kind of real gritty. Yeah.
Avatar stuff's getting harder to get out here, you know? I got to say.
But I really recommend this book. It's gruesome and it's awesome in the ways that you love Garth Ennis.
I will be picking up. Actually, I got to say, that one I was talking about before, that 68 Rule of War thing, has a very Garth Ennis vibe to it. That is cool. And then that 68 Rule of War is very, very violent as well, as you can imagine. Quickly mentioned, Starlight number 2 came out. This is Mark Millar's.
I'm dying to read this.
Flash Gordon-esque one. Look, it just as good. Some really, really cool things when he gets back behind the wheel of a spaceship for the first time in 40 years. Very, very cool. Veil number 2, as I said, is wonderful. What If Age of Ultron number 1 came out this week.
Did you read that?
I did.
Yeah, can you tell me about that? Just really quickly, because I did get this, but I haven't had a chance to read it.
It's a Hank Pym-centered story.
That's my mind manager, okay?
It's a Hank Pym-centered story. Like, I don't want to spoil it too much, because actually it's kind of like, it's not even really Age of Ultron. It is kind of that story, but it's just another What If kind of parallel universe.
I think
where
the what ifs are kind of losing their mind.
I was hoping it would be like, what if it was good?
Good, yeah. And it seems it doesn't actually do that story. And that's what I wanted to know as well. Look, the other thing that came out this week, I'll just mention very quickly, was Amazing Spider-Man Family Business. It's an original graphic novel. And that one, I think, is by Mark Wade. So we will be checking that out on the show at some stage in the future. Our next show is actually going to be the Amazing Spider-Man 2 film. So we'll probably take a bit of a breather from Spidey. Or maybe we'll just keep rolling on Spidey.
Maybe.
Next week, if you're in comic book shops or on your iPad or any kind of downloady device or however you...
Downloady device.
That's what they call them, right? I just found out about the internet this week.
I can't wait for like 10 years when we can read them on our watches.
Yeah.
They'll just pop up in a little hologram. So if you're in the future and you're buying comics on the 9th of April, you will be buying Batgirl number 30 because this series just keeps getting better and better and better. Batman Eternal number 1 comes out next week. This is the new weekly Batman series, which is going to tie into a bunch of stuff. It was teased...
Because we needed another Batman book?
It was teased a few months back.
We do, actually.
Yeah, right? It was teased a few months back in your favorite book, Dave, Snyder's Batman.
Yeah, where Zero Year.
Where they basically did a whole Zero issue in the middle of Zero Year for no apparent reason. Flash Gordon number 1 comes out next week if Starlight's not good enough for you. But Flash Gordon's coming out from Dynamite. It's worth looking out for because Jeff Parker's writing it. He's a great writer. Shudder number 1's coming out from Image Comics. It's by Joe Keating, so definitely look for that one. Joe Keating, I think, actually wrote possibly the What If Age of Ultron this week as well. I'm looking for, All New Dupe number 1. Dupe, you will remember, is the character from Milligan and Allred's Ecstatics comic. And did some stuff with Wolverine and the X-Men as well. I love the character. Looking forward to that. It's not Allred on that one, but and I always associate Dupe with Allred, but he's doing the covers, I think. All New Ultimates number 1 coming out next week. So they are rebooting the Ultimate Universe as a result of
Which
Cataclysm.
Which I'm so surprised at.
The other one you can look out for is Daredevil number 1.50. So it's Daredevil 1.5. But the reason they're doing this is because it's the 50th anniversary of Daredevil. So they're doing like a special issue between issue 1 and 2 just to mark that. Also new from Marvel next week, Iron Fist, The Living Weapon number 1. And no doubt they're building up to the Iron Fist Netflix series next year.
Absolutely.
And Nightcrawler is getting his own series, Nightcrawler number 1 next year, by Chris Claremont.
Wow. So, all right. No, I'm actually in on that. There you go.
So I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot to read next week. Not quite as much as there was this week, but definitely will be.
So this is Claremont's first ongoing in how long?
A while.
A long time.
Some time. Maybe just talking to us got him enthused about. Yeah, no, I think so. I think we had that effect on people. Look, unfortunately, we won't be talking about those much because we won't be here next week.
Yeah.
But we'll mention them quickly the week after. What I want to really, really quickly mention is that I caught up on Superior Spider-Man, read the whole thing in a week, all 30 issues.
Tell us.
And man, it was good. I actually had to tweet Dan Slott and say, dude, you wrote one hell of a roller coaster there, man.
Sorry.
I said, all my skepticism is gone. That was it. You've written in one of the best roller coasters I've been on. Thank you, Mr. Dan Slott. And he wrote, thanks. And retweeted it, and you know, that went out. So I mean, that was something nice. They acknowledged it.
Yeah, I mean, we should stress that because I've actually got all of the Spirit of Spider-Man's loaded up on my iPad as well. My son is actually ready to have a drink. My son has actually finished reading them. My son vowed not to read Superior Spider-Man right after the issue where they said that they were killing off Parker even in his subconscious.
Yes.
And he basically said, that's it, I'm done. He goes, he thought Dan Slott was the devil. He's basically saying, I'm done, I'm not going to do this anymore. When he found out that Parker was making the return, he basically said, all right, I'll give this a shot and have a look. And he went and read the entire Superior Spider-Man as well and adored it. So, yes, I'm on that roller coaster coming up to it. So I'll be there soon.
Look, I mean, issue 31 is the final issue. And now that, look, if you haven't read Superior Spider-Man number 30, I know you've read that panel. You've seen the panel. You've seen, and it's a callback to an old Claremont issue in a lot of ways. The Dark Phoenix. It's a Wolverine line that he uses in that moment. So I'm so psyched. But the thing is, on the other hand, I don't want to lose Superior Spider-Man. I hope they manage to keep that version of Doc Ock because he is such a different character.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
I really like what they've done with that. Anyway, it's time for some news headlines.
Kevin Feige has dropped the news that Marvel Studios has planned out their cinematic universe until at least 2028.
Marvel Comics has confirmed that an ongoing Deathlok series spinning out of the events of Original Sins will be coming out shortly. No creative team has been announced as yet.
Grant Morrison and artist Ryan Hughes will team up on a wordless BBC exclusive comic strip called The Key.
Vertigo's intriguing new series, Bodies, will cover detectives uncovering a murder mystery through four different points in London's history. 1890, 1940, 2014, and 2050. Written by Cy Spencer, it will feature a different artist for each period.
Bruce Timm returns to Batman in a new DC Nation short called Batman Strange Days, set to debut on April 9th.
DC announced that Teen Titans Earth 1 will come out later this year from writer Jeff Lemire and artists Terry Dodson and Rachel Dodson. More original Earth 1 graphic novels are also planned.
I apologize in advance. Holly Hunter, Callan Mulvey, and Tao Okamoto have all joined Warner's Man of Steel sequel in new roles created for the film.
Because DC don't have enough characters that they own.
Obviously.
They've sold them all off to Fox. Toby Kebbell has been cast in the villainous role of Dr. Doom in Fox's Fantastic Four reboot. He was most recently seen in The Counselor and soon to star in The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Don't hurt me, Arch. I'm only little. I love Toby Kebbell. Matt Gerard, previously seen in Avatar and G.I. Joe Retaliation, has reportedly been cast as the villain in Marvel's Ant-Man.
And finally, Bender Schmink, best named company in the world, and Illuminati Entertainment announced they have picked up the rights to Jim Starlin's 1982 comic book series Dreadstar for a feature film.
Anything Jim Starlin is good.
Yeah, apparently it's basically, it's going to be a Star-Lord film by any other name.
Great.
So like old school, like, you know, 70s Star-Lord kind of style sort of stuff.
I mean,
it was written in 82.
Can we just touch on really quickly Toby Kebbell? I think this man is fantastic. I just don't know if he's Doctor Doom.
I mean, look, you know, Fantastic Four casting has been pretty...
Patchy
at best.
Who was Dr. Doom in the first one?
McMahon.
Yeah, he wasn't really that good either.
No. No, I don't. I mean, Dr. Doom, it's hard. When they cast these roles, it's really difficult because they're casting someone who spends most of the time in a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And no actor wants to do that. So when they had McMahon in the first one, he was constantly, half the thing, his face was peeling and turning metal.
Yeah.
And then even when he did get the mask on, he had it off every 5 minutes. And that was annoying. I mean, you know, when you do Iron Man, at least you got the excuse that Tony Stark is around a fair chunk of the time.
And we cut to the close-ups inside the helmet.
In the helmet. You can do that. You know, you actually have the face. So he is seen on screen a lot of the time. But, you know, if you've got ego enough that you want your face seen all the time, don't sign on for a masked role that is perpetualized. It's like, you know, Carl Urban, not the country singer. Carl Urban, when he signed up for Dread, he didn't take the mask off. Never took the helmet off once because he knew that's what the role required.
So, and yet Stallone never had the helmet on. Mm. So
you know why? Because he's really lazy. Look, I'm excited by a few things in this week's news. I think that the Bruce Timm coming back. They're doing two shorts. The other short that's coming out will be announced soon is the one by the guy who did... Oh, God, I've forgotten his name. The New Frontier stuff. Darwin Cook.
Oh, right.
Cook is doing the other short that's coming back. So between the two of them, they've done some of the best DC animated
stuff. I just don't want Bruce
Timm
coming back for a short. I want him to come back and do some more features. You know?
Yeah, but he's done with that. And
he's moved on.
He's just basically doing this for Batman's 75th anniversary. But boys, we've got a kind of big film to talk about today.
Little itty bitty film. Independent cinema.
We are a comic book show, but we couldn't help but doing a special for this week's Big of the Week.
Well, see how you like this.
What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the Pick of the Week.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier. He's a ghost. You'll never find him.
I joined S.H.I.E.L.D. to protect people.
Captain, to build a better world, sometimes means tearing the old one down.
That makes enemies.
It's time you got with the program, Cap.
Keep both eyes open.
look, I'm gonna say up front, like, it's obvious we're all comics fans and we love our comic book films. Dave and I spoke about this film a few weeks ago when we saw a very, very early screening of it. The only thing I'm going to add, because I'm going to show it over to David McVeigh first to give his opinions on it, because we've spoken about
it. I still haven't heard his opinions. The
only thing I want to say up front is that I personally consider this to be the best Marvel film to date. Mm-hmm. David McVeigh, tell me how you agree with me.
Bake it away, toys.
You know what? I really, really, really enjoyed this film. I thought it was a balls-to-the-wall action film. I actually...
You turned to me at the end of the film and said it's the best action film since...
Die Hard.
Yeah.
Since the original Die Hard.
Yeah.
I think it's arguably the best action film since Die Hard, purely on its staging of its action sequences. Mm. Somebody actually put out on Facebook the other day that they thought that the action sequences weren't that well staged.
Say what?
And all I could think was, are you nuts?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just the movement and the choreography of those moments and those hero moments that you get only in a comic book film.
It's like someone was wanting the Russo brothers to fail, so they said, hey, they didn't do
that. Yeah, it's
action.
Not so it's good. Like, now, in seeing it a second time, it's really interesting because you get to go along much more with the intrigue than the action, because you're suddenly following that storyline, that whole 3 Days of the Condor-esque feeling.
Yeah, it's
that's
exactly
going on.
And Robert Redford's costume is perfect.
Absolutely. But, yeah. And there's a lot to like in there, but there are certain key moments where just when you think, okay, you know, are we just going into that territory, or are we going to get back to action? We then have Cap do something extraordinary. Mm. The opening sequence on the boat, extraordinary. When he leaps from the elevator, and we've got Stillman's comment when he basically goes, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah,
when he lands on the shield in the middle of the courtyard, you just sit there and you go, "These are hero moments. These are the moments where you sit and go, Cap is here." Mm-hmm. The first Captain America film, I said way back on those early shows, was my favorite of all of the Marvel films at that point. Not the best, but my favorite, because it was pure comic book.
Yes,
and this is a really worthy sequel to that, because that set him up. And now he gets to be Captain America. Now he gets to be that extraordinary hero.
Yeah, from the moment this film opens, he is comic books Captain America. Mm. He is Ed Brubaker's Captain America.
He's Ed Brubaker's Captain America, absolutely.
You know, from the moment he leaps from the plane with that great line, you know,
is he wearing a parachute?
No, he isn't.
Everybody from my barbershop.
Now we should stress we aren't going to spoil on this show. So this
except for the ending.
Except for the ending, the post-credit sequence, and the other post-credit sequence.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil the film in this show, but listen to this week's GMC because we are just going to do a straight spoiler.
Coulson's
show.
Dead. Sorry.
Wait, he's back. Is he?
I called him Stillman before. Stillwell.
Stillwell
is the name I was looking for.
I knew who you meant.
Yeah, you knew who I meant.
Coulswell.
I think this is highly recommended stuff. I'm definitely with you when you put this as a 5-star film and said this is one of the best Marvel films yet. I think it is one of the best Marvel films. I don't think it is the best Marvel film, but I think it's one of the best.
The reason I say it's the best for me, I know it's a big call, and I am prone to hyperbole, but the reason I think it's best, because it's the first Marvel film for me, and this is not to belittle the other ones, because you know I've loved them all. Mm. It's the first one to me that actually was the most story-driven of the lot of them, and you managed in those 2 hours, you found out more about those three main characters than you did in the other 8 films combined.
True.
And, you know, even little things like Sam Jackson standing in the elevator talking about how his grandfather used to, you know, run an elevator for years, and the little story about the bag full of singles and the 22, you know, and then which gives us, you know, segues into that magnificent pan of, you know, yeah, they're a little bigger than a 22 when you see all the helicarriers that you saw in the trailer. You know, they do the real Man Out of Time thing really well. You know,
and let's face it, Scarlett Johansson has never been better. She's actually progressively gotten, the Black Widow character has progressively gotten better with each film that she's been in. I thought she was kind of fun in Iron Man 2. I thought she was great in Avengers.
Yeah, I mean,
and I thought she was just stellar.
Because Whedon wrote her really well in the Avengers, but it's given everyone permission now to treat her less seriously. Mm. She's got that great back and forth with Cap. And that great running gag throughout the film.
About dates.
Like, you know, he's about to jump out of a plane and she's, you know, he's saying, what about the girl from, you know, accounting, you know? And then it's sort of like, and when they land, he's beating a whole lot of guys up, and as soon as she lands, she just picks up the conversation where they left off. And there's another scene where they're standing on top of a building and he's just about to do something cool and she's going, what? And he goes, what, the one with a lip piercing?
That's the brilliance of picking Black Widow to be his partner in this movie. Like, of all the Avengers that they could have picked, they picked Black Widow.
Well, she's the polar opposite.
She's the polar opposite. That's exactly right. Like, I saw this interview with Joe and Anthony Russo, the directors, and they said that they chose to do Black Widow. Well, the script, it was in the script, obviously, but what they liked about the pairing was that she has a mysterious past,
And he's an open book.
And on top of that, her moral codes and ethics are very blurred.
Whereas his
a clean cut.
And what I love about this film is it shakes them both to the point where their moral codes, both sides of it, are shaken. You know, so he's not quite sure where he stands, where he always did know where he stood. And she doesn't know where she stands, where she always
and
knew.
That's before
that's exactly
even,
how you get the story-driven thing Richard's talking about.
Yeah. And that's before you even get into the major twists of the film.
No, this is by halfway through the film.
Yeah,
so.
Which is just the initial events get them questioning everything. Even the boat at the start of the film, what's going on with that, gets everybody questioning what's going on.
Well, and I think it's summed up by a line from Black Widow where he says, that's not our mission. She goes, that's my mission. You know?
So it sort of introduces Cap to the notion of compartmentalization, that he doesn't have to know everything. We already know the Avengers aren't.
Well, because he's still approaching it as being a soldier. And he's not a soldier in this situation. He's a spy.
Yeah, he says something like, I'm sick of, you know, doing Fury's laundry at the start of the thing, you know? And that is kind of what he's become, and you know, but then Fury sort of throws it back at him and said, "We saw what some of the SSR, wasn't it?
Yeah,
what you guys did." And then he goes, "Yeah, but we did it to keep people
to
safe,
to protect freedom,
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and there's that kind of parallel between the Second World War and what's happening now. But you know, the distinction that Cap draws, which I think is a really interesting one, he said, "Well, we did it so people could be free. For you, freedom is, you know, holding a gun to their head and telling them they're free, you know." And it's like, I think it's a really interesting, really, really ballsy move for a major studio film, pointing
absolutely,
a finger
yeah.
at the government and basically
and
saying,
and it does it in a way,
you're
like
doing this. You know, the Insight program in the film is basically analogous with the drone program.
It's the drone program wrapped up with a little bit of
all the stuff that Edward Snowden leaked and all that kind of stuff.
I was thinking,
you know,
things like, oh my God, it's gone out
WikiLeaks.
Of my head. After 9/11, the Patriot
Act. All that sort of stuff. But all the idea that you can run, you know, you can spy on people constantly. I almost dropped a spoiler there. The notion that, you know, everybody's business is everybody's business because that's how we stay safe.
Yeah, like a surveillance state.
Kind of thing. You know, and it's not the first film to do it, and it's certainly not the first big budget film to do it.
But the core thing is that it's a superhero movie doing it.
And this is my point about why I think that this is the best film to date, because, and Kevin Feige said it best on that Marvel Cinematic Universe thing, where he said, you know, the superhero genre is not a genre unto itself. It can be anything it wants to be. This one's chosen to be a spy thriller, and it's shown other spy thrillers and other action films how you do it, you know. And it just happens to have some of my favorite characters and actors in it as well. You know, and it could go anywhere after this. We're not going to, and it's going to affect everything. We'll talk about this more on GMC, but it's going to...
We'll delve into this in GMC.
It's going to affect the TV series. It's going to affect the next few films. It's going to have long-lasting...
It is a ballsy move from them because it kind of completely reinvents their entire universe.
It's like that. That's like that analogy almost that I used to say about... that Brian Bendis used to say about Ultimate Spider-Man. He says, when I leave the book, I'm going to rip his arms and legs off and tell the next writer, you deal with it. You know, and they've kind of done that. You know, they've just sort of said to... And, you know, Joss Whedon's no stranger dealing with, you know, everything that's come before. I mean, certainly they all would have been privy to the storylines as they're building out.
I would actually put money down to say that Joss Whedon's probably ghostwritten some of this as well, though, because he also ghostwrote a lot of the first Cap, which is the same writers.
And some of that dialogue... Particularly Black Widow's dialogue,
yeah.
I would say is pure Whedon.
It's pure.
Not to take anything away.
No. These guys have done a great job.
Like,
but
like things like, is that your first kiss in 75 years? Like that's like a Whedon.
I like what he says. I'm 95. I'm not
dead. Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, there is very little about this film that I don't like, and I think one of the things that I loved about it is the casting. I don't know who said it this week. How they got Robert Redford, they'll never know. Like it's just that's a major coup for the series. That just brings so much gravitas to that role, which could have been generic old guy who's scheming thing. You know,
makes you wonder who they're going to pull out next. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You know, and then it's well, we've got Glenn Close in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, that's true.
You know, you've
Stallone.
Got
Days of Expendables past.
Who would Stallone play in the Marvel U?
Doctor Doom, there you go.
Doctor Doom. Oh yeah, he'd be over at Fox. Yeah. He'd be over at Fantastic Four.
He could play the Watcher, Uatu. <Yeah. laughs>
Hey, I've been watching a lot of you. It's a pretty important moment. You know, I can't do anything, but I've got the whole universe covered. You're all being lazy.
Universe agree lazy.
We did this whole show with as sly, but you know, and the fact they got him, they got the fact that they got, you know, these great actors in these cool roles. It's just you know, Anthony Mackie. Let's talk about him. He's the first new character introduced in the film because he's there from the opening scene. In the opening scene, and
on
I love
left.
It. On your left, on your left. It's great. It's a great moment of bonding between...
Interestingly enough, there's a minor controversy starting to stir up about his list, which we won't give away too much about
it's
list.
It's different,
but,
yeah.
But apparently...
It's all the people he plans to save, right?
No. What we will say is... We won't say what's on the list, but we will say...
Well,
that
technically that could work, though. You could... Yeah. Anyway, in the
My name is Steve Rogers.
I could have saved more, Nick.
I spent 75 years in a hellish ice cave.
So in the opening scene of the film, he's basically told about experiencing something, and he says, you know, I'm keeping a list, and he opens his little book, and he's got his list of things he needs to catch up on. And it caught my eye at some of the entries on this list, thinking this is very odd. And then, of course, a little bit of research has shown that the list is different in every single country.
Yeah, so I've got some of them on screen here. If you want to, look, we had, ours was very Australian-centric, so for those of you listening overseas, our print, the list had things like Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Why? Why? Who wants to look up Skippy the Bush Kangaroo?
Steve Martin.
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin, sorry. Not Steve Martin.
Tim Tams.
Look up Steve Martin. Tim Tams, yes. Actually, Cap, you should probably look
at
some Tim Tams in there and things like that. But, you know, just to throw you out some of the ones. The one in, I think, you know, other ones had things like, I think the US one had... Moon Landing, Berlin Wall, Steve Jobs.
The UK had the Beatles.
Typhoon. All of them had Star Wars slash track. This one had Nirvana, Rocky 2 maybe. You know, UK audiences saw, yeah, the Beatles, Sean Connery, World Cup Final 1966. you know, Trouble Man soundtrack with the last one. Yeah,
apparently the Korean screening, it had like Korean food dishes and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, all those sorts of things. So, you know, we've seen Disney do this before in the animated films.
Well, the minor controversy that it seems to have stirred up is that I was reading a site, I think it was actually, could have even been Superhero Hype, I'm not sure, but it was one of those, and they were basically saying, he's an American in America. So
American.
You would think that
called
he
Captain
would,
America.
Called Captain America. You would think he would be looking up things about his own country. And the idea of localizing it is kind of cute. And yeah. And overseas audience go, oh, look, there's our stuff.
But it
doesn't make sense.
It's a blink and you'll miss it. It's a blink and you'll miss it gag.
It's a disgusting xenophobic kind of conversation we're having here anyway. Oh, like, because firstly, we're assuming that because he's in America, he's not going to care what Australia thinks.
No, sure. But I don't think any
he's a man of the world. He's spent more time
I don't
France.
Think any American who's been frozen for 75 years in the ice is going to be looking up Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
He's a soldier. He's a soldier. He's in New York. Come we on, get him Skip. Laid. We got no problem.
I don't think any Australian is going to look up Bush.
What's that,
Skippy
David?
The Bush Kangaroo.
Skippy was part of my childhood.
What's that, Dave? Trouble at the Old Mill?
I didn't like Skippy the first time round. You know?
Skippy. That's because you're an American.
But I
end
was raised
argument.
Here.
Oh, drop microphone. Walk away. Feedback.
Damn straight.
You know. But the thing is, I mean, look, you know, that was a blink and you'll miss it gag in the whole film, and it was fun. And it got
Do
a lot of
some people walked out at that point. like 5 minutes in the movie. I am disgusted
I'm
by
done.
This show.
He might be on your left.
This might be the best action movie ever, but no. No.
But I'm on your right
out
of
angry.
And you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. But anyway, that was a very small blink and you miss it gag in the whole film. The rest of the film is pitch perfect. I think everything else about it, that was just a little throwaway. And of course, that whole scene there, the reference to Trouble Man, is just so they can refer to it later on and use Trouble Man. Someone actually pointed out, this is really cool. Someone said Captain America Winter Soldier had Trouble Man. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 3 had Blue. And Guardians of the Galaxy has, of course, Hooked on a Feeling. When I'll any excuse.
Hooka shaka hooka 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 shaka hooka 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 shaka hooka.
I'll just play that in the background while we're talking. And they said, "I really like this Phase 3 thing that's going on here. I like the soundtrack to that." But it's
Age of Ultron's going to have Kraftwerk.
Yeah, right. Some really, it made really heavy industrial stuff. It'll have some Einstürzende and Neubauten in there or something. I don't know. That's what
Can
I want to
imagine
see
imagine the Marvel logo. It's just the red pages flicking. It's just like, oh,
Rammstein. That's what I want to say. So, Joss Whedon,
Featuring
if you're listening,
a score by Marilyn Manson.
Joss Whedon, if you're listening, and you want some creative input for Avengers: Age of Ultron, I reckon Rammstein, Einstürzende
yeah,
Neubauten.
Yeah.
This film, on the other hand. Look, I'm just going to...
Features no
Rammstein. It does feature Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man, and I think that's got... Like Hooked on a Feeling has probably spawned so many iTunes sales, it's not funny. Not to mention Tim Tam and Skippy the Bush Kangaroo DVD sales.
Apparently here, yeah.
Yeah. but well, apparently no American would be interested in Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
No, I'm not.
No. Well, you're an Australian.
So, question is, how successful is this film going to be? Do you have any shoes left?
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, apparently it's going to break April records in the United States.
Yeah. Sure, okay, but so far it's made $132 million.
That's nothing to scratch.
If this doesn't make $1 billion, I will make Dave eat a sock.
Okay, cool. One of your socks.
Oh, yeah. I've got just the sock too. I've been
cultivating it for years.
I've been using it on the treadmill this week. It's got that. You can throw it against a wall and it'll stick to it like pasta.
So I take it we all enjoyed this
film. No, I couldn't stand it. I've only seen it. I hated it so much. I've seen it three times.
I've seen it twice, Dave. Twice.
Yep. And an IMAX.
Look, what say we just wrap this puppy up and start doing some feedback? What do you reckon?
I think so. I think you want this.
I want the girl. I want the girl right here. Actually, our first bit of feedback is on the Winter Soldier. Some of this has got some spoiler stuff in it, and I'll read that bit out on GMC. Okay. So make sure you listen to Geek Movie Club this week.
This is like part one.
This is like part one.
This is awesome.
Of a two-part thing.
We're doing a crossover.
We're doing
guys.
A crossover between our shows.
Oh, wow. This is the first crossover. This is fantastic. This one comes from some bloke named Michael Wheeler.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
I don't know if he's been listening to the show very long. I believe he is an American. Is that right? No, not America.
No, he's America's hat.
He's the other one. He's Mexico, right?
Mexico.
No, he's from Uruguay.
Canada.
He's from Canada. Yeah. Michael Wheeler from Canada says, hey guys, Winter Soldier was great.
When did he become
Swedish? That's an interesting Canadian, isn't it? Winter Soldier was great, eh? I just wish they would have used the tripod. Especially the side-scroll fight between Cap and Batroc. I'm seeing it again in 2D tomorrow. Maybe it'll be better a few rows back and not in IMAX 3D. And then he goes on to talk about some stuff he discussed with me. It's spoilerific. But he ends it with, have a great day, Mike from Canada.
Cool. Thank you, Mike.
The other thing we got, I just want a little bit of feedback we got via one of our other channels, which is our Facebook page. If you go to Behind the Panels, and you'll see a Facebook logo there. If you go to Facebook, it's facebook.com/behindthepanels. We got something from, I believe it was, actually we got a few comments on The Winter Soldier. I may as well read those out now if I can find the commentary on the review here somewhere. No, I've lost it completely, so we're not going to talk about those. Oh, here we are. A couple of people said no. I got that completely wrong. Anyway, so, oh, hang on. I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
So just ignore everything I've just said.
Okay, well, we're consider it ignored.
Thank you. we did get something for... Who did we get this from? No, I think we've read this out. No. Okay, I thought we had new feedback, but
we don't.
Well,
it's good because the music just ended.
That's good. Okay, well, that was just a waste of my time. Thanks for wasting my time, internet.
It was a chance.
Actually, there was another message. I just couldn't find it.
It was a chance
we were poked
that.
A couple of times.
Actually, we did get some feedback from iTunes, which is the other place.
Oh,
that
yeah,
you can,
yeah, that's
you can get
the
to.
Important one.
This one was sent to us via the Geek Actually Superfeed.
Right.
And this, rather than the actual Behind the Panels iTunes thing. God, this has been a hot mess today. we're all very tired. But especially me.
We're recording at night again, people. We should.
I'm recording at night again. I got home at about 2 o'clock this morning, so it's not. It's one of those days. But who was it? Here we go. This one was left for us late last week, just after we recorded the last show. This is from Bad Apple 93, but you're a good apple in my book. Said it's fully worth it. sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But every time I say the word fully. I have to break into that. 5 stars. I can't remember how I found you guys, but I'm sure glad I did. They're now my most favorite podcast. Listening to the guys separate the wheat from the chaff with the independent opinions has reignited my love of comics, which lay dormant for over 30 years. It blew me away when I was in local Sydney comic book store last weekend trying to remember what titles the guys had recommended when in my head I could hear Dave Longo's voice. Was I tripping? No, it was really Dave on a fleeting visit catching up with the staff. Alas, before I could say good day, he left. He's like that. He's an absolute tool. and not in a superhero way. These guys rock and can really rely, and can really go on some wild tangents. We certainly have this episode. But every minute is worth listening to. Now, a couple of things
I want
to address there.
That proves that we actually buy comic books.
It's true. Now, I want two things
I
that point out.
I would have said hello, actually.
Moral to that story is that Dave's become a bit of a diva. in fact, the real story why he wasn't here last week is that he wanted to host.
Yeah.
And he wanted to, and we said, you are a host. You're the co-host.
We had to put him in the naughty
corner. No, it's Behind the Panels with Dave Longo and the other guys, is what he was saying last week. So we put him in the audio. He's a bit more sensible this week. But okay. The other thing is that I want to address with that is, thank you, we do rock. we have gone off. I don't know. I think
well,
we just got off.
Richard, we rock.
We rock. Diva Longo over here is...
hey, be nice to the people on your way down, Richard.
Dave, you know we love you. We missed you last week.
We did. I mean, we honestly, like, I just want to get all teary and stuff, but I missed him last week.
Could have made some jokes about Noah.
I didn't have anybody to my right. Yes. You're literally my right-hand man over here, you know, and you're my brother, man.
Yeah. I can't believe we're doing this on air.
I just, you know,
it's getting vaguely uncomfortable now.
let's just go home because I can't stand it.
We can't go home. We've got another show to do. Oh, yeah, but there is Cannelloni. waiting.
I thought you were saying there's cake.
There's cannelloni waiting
please,
for us.
Please, I've yet to have someone that I don't know come up to me and say, "Hey, I listen to the podcast. Hello, yeah, good to meet you." I would love to meet someone.
Somebody
like,
approached.
Awesome.
Somebody approached me in local Sydney comic book store a couple of weeks back and said, "Hey, haven't seen you a while." And I'm like, "And I'm sorry if this is somebody I knew and I'm just insulting
it was your
you
mother.
Now." It's my mother. Yeah, it would have been a while since I've seen her. Actually, I haven't been. I got to go visit my mum this week. Thank you, Dave. I'll go do that. But he came up to me, just right up to me, and said, "Hey, haven't seen you in a while." And I'm like, "Yeah, hi."
You
and I look if I knew you and maybe I was just out of it that day. I am heavily medicated, but I didn't recognize you. So just remind me where you've seen. You know, I don't remember all the little people I've met along the way. You know, Dave's the same way. You know, we meet
all the little people.
You know, because we're hosts of an internationally recognized comic book podcast.
Really?
We can't afford to be seen as mingling with the commoners. You know.
And on that note, Richard won't be here next week.
But you can find me on DVD Bits and Twitter. You find
one of the nicest ones I've had was I was invited to. It was actually a red carpet event. I can't remember what it was, and I was standing in line. I was actually with Josh at the time. And the publicist comes over and says, "Oh, it's so great to hear you. You sound just like you do on your show." And I went, "Oh, God, they listen."
It's actually worrying when publicists listen to your stuff because they've said something. "Oh, yeah, I read your review for such and such." And it's like not even the film that they were covering.
No.
And it was like, "Oh, thanks." Because there was one publicist that we used to do a lot of business with who was a fan, as it turned out.
Yeah.
So it was nice. It's nice when you get that sort of report. I mean, look, we love hearing from you guys every week. So if you want to...
We joke a lot about all this, but we love you guys.
Like we might look down on you, but we love hearing from you. And
I look up to everybody.
And so if you want to contact us, you can do it in a bunch of places. We've mentioned the Facebook page. You can do it via Twitter at Behind the Panels or our individual accounts, which we'll mention in a moment. You can hit us up at feedback@behindthepanels.net. And of course, the thing that means the most to us is the iTunes feedback. You can either do that on the Behind the Panels iTunes feed, or you can do it on the Geek Actually Super feed. Either one is great. But for this show, we really want to see some more scores on the board for Behind the Panels iTunes feed. All you have to do is go and leave a star rating or a short comment. We'll read out the comments on the show. And,
quite honestly, I'm not that tall, so I look up to everybody. But
I'm a short man.
If you meet
man.
Us, just don't touch us.
We're short and we don't like to be handed things. We're short men, but we're very tall for our height.
And please send all your feedback. Remember, you can also find us on Skype. If you want to hear your voice on the show,
yes.
You can leave us audio feedback by calling us a Skype ID, Geek Actually, all one word.
And that way that gives us a break from talking for a while.
And we let you talk.
Even though, you know, obviously you're not going to sound as good as us. You might actually. Know. We might find the new host to replace me.
We'll listen to Skype and go, "Hey, call that guy."
And next week on Behind the Panels, some new guy.
Local Sydney comic book store.
Recording live from local Sydney comic book store. I don't think that'll ever be happening.
Mr. Black.
Until next week, I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McCoy.
Wait. You can find me on...
What a mess this is.
Jesus. You can find me on Twitter at DVDBitch. You can find me at TheRealBitch.com. You can find me on BehindThePanels.net.
You can find me on Twitter at David McVeigh. You can find me at GeekActually.com.
You can find me on Twitter at Dave Longo and DamnGoodCop.com, where there is a review of Captain America Winter Soldier, which I wrote.
That's
can
amazing.
Can you believe
oh,
that?
I want to throw this out there really quickly before you sign us out. I'm at work the other day. One of the other staff members comes up and goes, "So I hear you like Winter Soldier. I read this really good review online." I went, "Oh, really? Yeah, they gave it 5 stars, said it was the best Marvel film yet." And I was wearing my Behind the Panels t-shirt. I said, "It wasn't this site." It turns out it was.
Oh, someone read my review. Actually, that review's had a lot of hits. We got it out there pretty early.
Yeah.
So we've had heaps of stack review. People decide it's nice.
It's a good review. Go out and read it.
It's nice to be read. Because it doesn't happen very often. But until next week, I'm Richard. Actually, next week, we should say next week. I forgot. Next week, we're taking a break. So there won't be a new Behind the Panels next week. But then we'll be coming back for the week of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Another movie special.
Do another film special. You just did like you threw a gang sign up at me there in the middle of that. No gang sign.
I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
It looks really good.
Now, you know what? It might be good. I can't do it.
You looked at the floor when you said that.
Look, it might be all right.
Spider okay? Pig does whatever a spider pig does. Can he swing from a web?
No, he can't. He's a pig. Which
bloody
is how.
Bloody hell.
Can we just end this show?
You're right. until then, I'm Richard Gray.
I'm Dave McVeigh.
And I'm David Eternal.
And this is Behind the Panels.